Hello, everyone. This is Kyle Andrews with WHAP, Fox Sports 1340. This is the Baltimore Flockcast, and today we are talking about the end of the Ravens season. They went 9-7 this year. They had a bunch of questions about who the offensive coordinator could be following the season because the Ravens' offense wasn't too good. They actually finished 29th in the NFL in yards. But in scoring, they were pretty good. They actually finished 9th. So to take that with a grain of salt, the Ravens' offense did get better as the season went on. And due to that, it seems like the Ravens were going to go in the direction of keeping Marty Mornhinweg as their offensive coordinator. And that is exactly what they did. However, John Harbaugh, at the end of the season press conference last Thursday, he actually discussed the fact that, you know, he wanted to get a quarterback's coach that would streamline some of the decisions, you know, and work with the footwork of Joe Flacco, their quarterback, obviously. And so they brought in former Bengals wide receivers coach James Urban, who was the quarterback's coach of Michael Vick in Philadelphia and Donovan McNabb. So he does have experience as a quarterback's coach. And Ravens fans shouldn't be too upset about that. It's a decision that it makes sense for both sides, both the Ravens and Joe Flacco. Joe seems to get skittish in a pocket at times, and I feel like a quarterback's coach would make a solid difference in keeping his footwork and keeping his shoulders square. So when you have a guy like James Urban, who's done it with two successful quarterbacks in the past, and Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick, I believe that, you know, Joe Flacco, he'll have a successful time with him as well. Now, with some of the other decisions that they made, of course, Dean Pease retired at the end of the season. The Ravens are still in the search for a defensive coordinator. Of course, Chuck Pagano was their defensive coordinator in 2011, taking over for Greg Madison, who departed the team for Michigan. Chuck Pagano actually, you know, he would be a pretty solid fit. The Ravens defense was pretty good under Chuck Pagano. I actually have to look up the stats really quickly, but you know, the team often got to the quarterback, and they produced. So I mean, it was also a team that was led by Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, so, and they also have Haloti Ngata as well. So you have to understand that Chuck Pagano, he did have a loaded team back then, and his team may not be as talented as that team defensively or offensively for that matter was. But you know, Chuck Pagano knows how to get to the quarterback. The Ravens that season had the third ranked defense in the NFL. And they also had the 12th ranked offense in the NFL. So, I mean, they were pretty solid. They weren't bad at all. And that team, of course, was an AFC title contender. They almost went to the Super Bowl, but everybody knows about what happened that day when Billy Cundiff missed the field goal and the Ravens packed their bags to head home. And, of course, the Patriots ended up going to the Super Bowl, but they lost to Eli Manning's New York Giants, which was very unfortunate for Tom Brady, but that's neither here nor there. And of course, the Ravens have a situation at their hands as well when it comes to, you know, what their direction is after Dean Pease has left. Dean Pease, often people have criticized Dean Pease for not making as much of a rush at the quarterback. Some have even criticized Dean Pease for having too convoluted of a defense. You know, it's a very intricate defense. They run a hybrid 3-4 defense. They don't often stay in just a 3-4 base formation, but that is their base defensive formation. But the Ravens, you know, they often have times getting pressure on the quarterback. Who knows? Maybe it is because of the 3-4. That they run, maybe it's not. I mean, it's too many things to talk about with the Ravens right now, especially defensively and offensively. It's just It's a lot of things going on. And even though they did have a winning record this season, and I know people will say, well, they didn't make the playoffs and that's all that matters, which is true. But, you know, it's an improvement from last season, as last season was also an improvement from 2015, where they completely stunk up the joint, for lack of a better term. Now, when it comes to the future for some of the Ravens, you know, especially the players, it's been a lot talked about Jeremy Maclin. Will the Ravens release Jeremy Maclin? And should the Ravens release Jeremy Maclin? That's been a question that's come up often, especially due to the fact that Jeremy Maclin simply didn't produce as a Raven. So this past season in 2017, Jeremy Maclin only played in 12 games. I mean, he was banged up with a shoulder injury early on in the season, and then he also had a concussion, I believe. And he had 40 receptions for 440 yards. He averaged 11 yards per reception, and he had just 3 touchdowns. That is an un-Jeremy Maclin-like season. And the Ravens were expecting him to be a better player than he was last year, where he was also banged up, but it was a more severe injury that he had. Last season in 2016, he finished with 44 receptions, 536 yards, 2 touchdowns. And, you know, his catch rating was actually higher as well. He had a 57.9% catch rate, whereas in 2017, he had a 55.6% catch rate. So Jeremy Maclin's numbers have continued to decline after the Ravens thought that he was going to have a resurgence in his career, especially coming into a team with the offensive coordinator and Marty Morningwig that he worked with in the past. Of course, the Ravens, you know, they have to look at this, and it's something that's going to have to happen in the near future. I'm not entirely sure who they could go for, but we'll see. I mean, Jeremy Maclin, obviously, his time may be up in Baltimore, especially with the fact that Chris Moore stepped up with the Ravens. He's a young guy, and Michael Campanaro also seemed to step up down the stretch, even though he also dealt with injuries as well. Quincy Adebojo, he came back. Well, he actually did. It was actually his first game in Week 17 against the Bengals. So, you know, he didn't really make an impact just yet, but that also remains to be seen. Another guy, I mean, the Ravens have 3 question marks at wide receiver right now. Maybe 5 or 6, really. And with you don't know if Mike Wallace is coming back, and Mike Wallace is their most productive receiver. So when you have that situation at hand with Mike Wallace, who, you know, he was the best receiver that the Ravens had this season. The stats don't lie. He had 52 catches, 748 yards, and 4 touchdowns this season, which, you know, led the team in yards. Of course, like I said before, with the other receivers, just as I said previously, he had a down season. You know, Mike Wallace had 52 grabs, 748 yards, 4 touchdowns, as said before, and he caught 56.5% of his catches. In 2016, he had 1,000 yards. Well, 1,017. He had 1,017 yards, 4 touchdowns. So same amount of touchdowns, obviously, but he had a 62.1 catch percentage. And maybe some of it is due to the fact that Joe Flacco was hurt at the beginning of the season. But, you know, wide receiver production dropped off more than a little bit. It dropped off considerably. And then you have Breshad Perriman, who was pretty much a non-factor this season. He had 10 catches for 77 yards and 0 touchdowns. And We have to remember he was a first-round pick in 2015. So how much more will the Ravens put up with when it comes to Breshad Perriman? Is he completely done for? We don't necessarily know. Will he come back next season and do better? Maybe he might. Who knows? With the Nelson Agholor with the Philadelphia Eagles had a resurgent season. And, you know, he had his troubles too. So maybe he may step up, but it's also year four with Breshad Perriman. If he hasn't stepped up now, what makes many people think that he's going to step up soon? I mean, in the future, like what will he really do? So I just don't know with this current group of guys that the Ravens have at receiver, if any of them will make an impact in the future. Mike Wallace is a free agent. So if he goes, that's pretty much all that the Ravens have. And they need to make some picks in the draft to shore up that receiver position, as well as maybe sign a receiver or two in the free agency. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I personally think that if anybody watched that Alabama game yesterday, they saw how great Calvin Ridley was. Calvin Ridley ran some of the strongest routes that I've seen run by a receiver in quite some time, and it was crisp. He showed strength. He showed playmaking ability. And I mean, obviously, the guy, I mean, he's the first pick in a draft. I mean, he's the first receiver taken off the board in the draft, in my opinion. I don't see why you can't pick him as the first receiver off the board. He's too good. He's just too good. You got to remember, he's playing in a rushing offense. This offense, the Alabama offense is old school. It's down your throat. He was playing. He had 900. People have to remember, he had 967 yards before going into the game with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback. Jalen Hurts cannot throw the ball. He cannot throw the ball. And when you have this kid Tua, I can't pronounce his last name. Forgive me, everyone. But Tua came in. He slung the ball. When you see what kind of quarterback that he was, and he's just a freshman. So could you imagine if Calvin Ridley had a quarterback in Joe Flacco, who's played in the NFL for 10 seasons plus? You know, if he's throwing him the ball, if Calvin Ridley gets an NFL quarterback to throw him the ball, and it could be almost any NFL quarterback, you already saw the plays that he made with a freshman quarterback that's younger than I am. I'm 23 years old. This kid is about 18, 19 years old. And he threw Calvin Ridley the ball with complete zip. And not the greatest of accuracy sometimes, because sometimes they had to scoop the ball off the ground. But if you get an NFL quarterback to throw Calvin Ridley passes, and Calvin Ridley's coming out of those breaks, yes, he may need to put on some weight because he's only 190 pounds. Maybe he might not need to put on weight because, you know what, he was bullying guys in the SEC. The SEC, which is one of the toughest conferences in college football, if not the toughest conference in college football, and he was doing it against, you know, cornerbacks that were monsters. So the fact that some are putting in Courtland Sutton, who is also good in his own right, he's very good, but he's kind of raw. Calvin Ridley, on the other hand, is clean. Like, he does everything crisp right now. Yes, he's 23 years old, and yes, he's going to turn 24 when he's a rookie. We understand that. Yes, he's a little bit older. But what does that matter in the sense that the Ravens really need some receivers right now? This job that Harbaugh has right now, this isn't set in stone after 2018. Is not set in stone. You don't know that. So if the Ravens want to get better and they want to go back to the playoffs, they have to draft receivers right now. They cannot afford to not get receivers. I mean, that's an obvious reason that the Ravens didn't make the playoffs this season. Earlier on in the season, the offense was stagnant. I can't name how many times that if the Ravens just had a better offense, maybe they would make it to the playoffs. Or maybe they might just win this game. You know, it was a couple of times that happened. And I just think that when you have guys that you thought were going to be better and they don't produce, and these are veterans that haven't produced, you know, sometimes you have to think about upgrades. And I know Joe Flacco, everybody's putting a fire under his butt right now. But Joe Flacco, he's also part of that as well. He needed to play better, and he did play better at the end of the season. He had a back injury at the start of the season that seemed to hamper him well into the 2017 season, especially from the fact that, you know, maybe they probably should have signed Colin Kaepernick. Well, more than probably, they should have signed Colin Kaepernick because he was ready. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. We can't delve into the past. And, I mean, with the Ravens, you have to look at it from a future standpoint. What will they do to improve the team next season? There are so many options in this draft for the Ravens to up their, you know, their ante when it comes to their receiving core. I can't name how many receivers that are really talented in this upcoming draft. And some people say, oh, receivers weak this year. There's not too many guys that I would draft in the first round. Receivers always a crapshoot. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, we know receivers are a crapshoot, but it's obvious that Calvin Ridley, the kid's the truth. He runs crisp routes. He doesn't drop passes. He's athletic. He's explosive. I mean, how much more do you need to say with this guy? And there's other guys that are lower in the draft on the draft boards, quote unquote, that people don't necessarily talk about either. I mean, I covered the Terps with Fox as well, and I see DJ Moore make insane plays time after time. But yet, in many of these draft boards, he's not even in the top 10. He's not even, I mean, like, I'm looking at Walter Football right now. DJ Moore isn't even in the top 15 of receivers. That makes absolutely no sense. I saw this kid dominate the Big Ten. The Big Ten. This isn't, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor League. This is the Big Ten that he dominated. And DJ Moore is ranked 24th. He had no quarterback throwing him the ball. He had Max Bortenschlager throwing him the ball. And then later on in the season, he had a bunch of like younger guys that he had a fourth string quarterback throwing him the football at the end of the season. I wouldn't blame him. And I wouldn't look at his size because everybody's like, oh, well, I'm looking at his size. I don't like it. He's built like a running back. He's 5'11", 215 pounds. He needs to cut weight. He's too bulky to play receiver in the NFL. I don't think his 40 time will be high. I think it'll be, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you saw this guy play with the lack of receivers with the lack of quarterbacks that he had, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy is going to be a good receiver in the NFL. I don't know if he's going to be elite, but he's from the same program that had Stephon Diggs come out with no – Stephon Diggs had no quarterback when he was at Maryland. He had like five different guys playing quarterback for him. But, you know, and DJ Moore had four different guys play quarterback for him. I mean, two of which were way better than anyone that Stephon Diggs had playing with him. But DJ Moore literally had four guys play quarterback for him, and he still produced. He had 80 receptions for 1,033 yards and 8 touchdowns. Who else is doing that with that kind of system? Not only that, But we're going to see what he does. We're going to see what he does at the Senior Bowl. We're going to see what he does. I mean, if DJ Moore bullies people at the Senior Bowl, it's no doubt in my mind that he's a third rounder at the lowest. I mean, his draft grade should be way higher. I don't understand why he's not he's a top five receiver in this draft. And the Ravens shouldn't sleep on him. They slept on Stephon Diggs. They let him fall. I understand he was hurt, yes. But DJ Moore is right there. You've seen him too many times. I mean, he reminds everybody of a mini Anquan Boldin. He's like Anquan Boldin if Anquan Boldin was 2 inches shorter. He bullies people off of the ball. That's the kind of guy that the Ravens need to get. If they want to improve this offense, Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore are two young guys that the Ravens need to go after. They cannot afford to not have these guys on the squad. They need to be on the squad. It's as simple as that. And if people naysay that, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't understand it. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've seen when we go to other positions on the team, I mean, some they're talking about the Ravens drafting another running back for what? Why would they need to draft another running back? I mean, Kenneth Dixon is coming back. I heard on the radio the other day that some people said Alex Collins wasn't great or very good. That makes no sense. Alex Collins is pretty solid. I mean, he came off of a practice squad to be the Ravens' leading rusher. And maybe that says more. Some people say, well, that says more about the Ravens than it says about Alex Collins. No. Alex Collins is a huge talent. You have to remember, this guy, you know, he came into the NFL and he was a fifth-round pick from Arkansas. But when he was in Arkansas, all he did was produce. I mean, that's all he did was produce. And Seattle chose Alex Collins in the fifth round. And then the next season, they cut Alex Collins for Eddie Lacy. I mean, that's neither here nor there. But when you get to the nitty-gritty of it, Alex Collins barely had that many carries at the start of the season. They could have pounded the rock with Alex Collins, you know, games 1 through 4. If they had Alex Collins on a roster in game 1, you know, if the Ravens have Alex Collins, I mean, Ravens are going to have Alex Collins next season. Plus, they're going to have Kenneth Dixon and Buck Allen. Why would you not? I mean, come on now. If you have 3 good running backs, why would you draft another one? You need receivers. They need receivers. They need a tight end because Ben Watson may retire. Ben Watson's already contemplating retirement, which is very scary for the Ravens. And if he retires, geez, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's going to hurt a lot because we don't know what Crockett Gilmore is going to bring back if he does come back to the Ravens. Max Williams hasn't developed. And Nick Boyle is a blocking tight end. He's not a receiver. So the Ravens need to draft a tight end. They need to draft a receiver. And they need to, you know, they need to stay. Don't draft any more running backs. Please, if the Ravens are going to, you know, people need to realize the Ravens need offensive linemen, receivers, and tight ends. Maybe you draft a quarterback because Ryan Mallett is probably going to depart in free agency. You draft a guy that you're going to groom behind Joe Flacco. But other than that, I don't understand the thought process in drafting a running back when the Ravens, they're already great at running back. They're fine. They have no problem at running back. They're only going to get better when Kenneth Dixon comes back. Only going to get better. He had a torn meniscus. It's not like he, you know, it's not like his knee blew up. I mean, a torn meniscus is bad, don't get me wrong, but it's not an ACL or MCL. So, you know, that's one of those situations where the Ravens, they're going to be fine at running back. Who knows? Maybe they'll carry 4 like they did this season. I know Terrence West is probably the odd man out because Danny Woodhead's there as well. Danny Woodhead could produce as a receiver if you needed him to come out of the backfield and put him out in the slot sometimes. So we'll see what happens with that as well. Like I mentioned before, when we're talking about quarterbacks, I actually wrote a piece for Baltimore Beatdown, which is SB Nation's Ravens site, and I wrote a piece about Luke Falk. I believe that Luke Falk, you know, he's gonna be a solid quarterback in the NFL, and I think if the Ravens find him sitting there in the fifth or sixth round, because you know a bunch of people are saying that he's gonna drop in the draft, then they need to grab him. Luke Falk is an intelligent quarterback. Sometimes he gets kind of scatterbrained with his reads, but for the most part, he makes deep progressions are great. I haven't seen a quarterback that's done that better than him, other than maybe Baker Mayfield. Now, these other guys on the other hand, well, Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold sometimes, but I mean, the other guys, though, for the most part, when I look at Rosen and Darnold, Darnold doesn't make all the throws. I mean, because he kind of drops pat. Well, I mean, he can make all the throws, but he just doesn't. Luke Falk doesn't have the same arm strength that Darnold does, but he makes all of the throws that he can, and he doesn't try to force stuff. Darnold often tries, because he does have the arm strength, he often tries to force it. And that's going to be a problem, you know, for whatever team that picks him. Now, with Luke Falk, like I said before, he doesn't try to force all the throws sometimes. And maybe he may also need to add frame to his size, because he's 6'4". Luke Falk's about 6'4", 215 pounds. That's kind of too small to be an NFL quarterback weight-wise. You know, if you want to be an NFL quarterback, you're going to have to talk about 225 pounds, maybe 230. So he's going to have to get in the weight room. He's going to have to strengthen his arm, which I think, you know, as he gets older, his arm strength will get better. He gets in an NFL weight program, his arm strength is going to be amazing, you know, or it's going to get a lot better than what it is, at least. So, you know, Luke Falk, he has the 68.3, completion percentage that, you know, many quarterbacks would die for, especially in a West Coast offense. That's the kind of quarterback you want. You do not want the kind of quarterback that will, you know, be scatterbrained with the football and will make bad throws. And often this time, in 2017, Joe Flacco made a bunch of scatterbrain throws. So to have Luke Falk behind him, a guy that's pretty much the anti-Joe Flacco, not to say Joe's bad. Joe is a good quarterback when healthy. But, you know, he doesn't make all the right reads. And I feel like when you have a quarterback that makes the right reads and tries to make the right reads and sits in the coach's office at all times and picks the brain of everybody, that's just going to make Joe better. And Falk's going to get better if he sits behind Joe for a couple seasons, because he's going to learn from Marty. He's going to learn from, you know, Urban. He's going to learn from a couple other people. So, you know, he's gonna be a guy that's going to pick the brains of all of his coaches. And Baltimore should be enamored with that. If he does fall, like I said, to the fourth, fifth, sixth round, go get him. Why not? You know, they'll probably draft, like I said before, they'll probably draft a receiver or two in the first three rounds. You know, they have two third-round picks. Got one from Ryan Jensen, or not Ryan Jensen, from Ricky Wagner. Rick Wagner went to Detroit, so they have two third-round picks, I believe. I can look that up really quickly. But with that, I mean, with that being said, you know, they have to, I mean, people have to go, if you have that, if you have that position where the Ravens can get, Ravens can literally sit there. No, they have one third round pick. My apologies. But, you know, they need a receiver. They need a right tackle. They need a backup quarterback. On offense, that's just on offense. We're not even talking about defense. Defense, they need pass rushers. They probably, I mean, you do get, I would say they need a cornerback, but you also have to remember that Tavon Young's coming back. Tavon Young's good. He's going to be that slot corner. He's probably going to be starting alongside Marlon Humphrey to start the season next year. But when Jimmy Smith comes back, Jimmy Smith, you know, when you have Jimmy Smith back, the Ravens are going to be a different kind of defense. That defense is going to be extremely strong with Jimmy Smith back. So, you know, you get those three at corner. Brandon Carr is probably going to be the fourth corner after Jimmy comes back, but before he does, he'll be the third. You still have Maurice Kennedy. That's a pretty good cornerbacks group. Safety, Tony Jefferson, he was a letdown this season, but he has shown the ability that he can play better with the Cardinals. And I believe that he will play better. You know, if Chuck Pagano's system comes to Baltimore again, you know, I think the Ravens could succeed. If Vic Fangio comes here to Baltimore, I feel like, you know, Jefferson will succeed. I feel like he's a really good player. He just didn't fit in the Ravens system. You know, some players don't fit in that system. We've seen it all too many times. But when it comes to other positions that the defense needs, they really need some interior defensive linemen and outside linebackers. They need to get pressure on the quarterback. That's what it's all about. That's what today's game and the NFL is all about, getting pressure on the quarterback. You have to. If you don't get pressure on the quarterback, guess what happens? They throw all over you like Andy Dalton did in week 17. Andy Dalton supremely picked apart the Ravens' defense. Supremely. Ben Roethlisberger supremely picked apart the Ravens' defense. Supremely. So when everyone tries to discuss, hey, well, I don't know. Well, I don't really think the Ravens need to do much on defense. Yeah, well, yeah, they kind of do. I'm not saying they have to get a defender in the first four rounds because they really need it on offense. But the defense has let them down far too many times to count this season. You know, the offense will take back a lead that they kind of put themselves behind the eight ball with. And the defense is like, well, you guys never give us the lead. What's going on? And then the defense blows the lead that they get from the offense. So, you know, who knows? Who really knows? I mean, personally, I think the Ravens need to get a receiver first. Then they need to go offensive line, because offensive line, you can never have too many offensive linemen. Ravens have seen that with Marshall Yanda and Alex Lewis. They've seen that with Ronnie Stanley's injuries. They've seen that with Austin Howard getting banged up. You know, there's too many guys that have gotten banged up this season and they don't have a replacement for immediately. Matt Skura got banged up and then Jermaine Illuminor had to come in. You can never have too many offensive linemen. Never. Offensive linemen are, in my opinion, the most important position on the field outside of quarterback. If you don't have those guys, I mean, on offense anyway. On defense is the defensive lineman. If you cannot get pressure in the trenches on defense or protect your quarterback on offense or run block, then you're in trouble, you know. And the Ravens had problems with that at the beginning of the season. They did get better. They did get better as time went on. So I have to give these offensive linemen credit, the reserves. James Hurst, he surprised me. He played a lot better. And I think he's going to be he's a solid backup guard. That's what he is. He's a backup guard. He is not a left tackle. So the Ravens can pick another tackle in the draft. You know, let him groom behind. If they let him groom behind Austin Howard, maybe take a couple snaps at left tackle too. I know Ronnie Stanley's the bookend at tackle. He's going to be he is the franchise tackle. Just as you have a franchise quarterback in Joe Flacco, Ronnie Stanley is a franchise left tackle. He's good when healthy. If he's not healthy, you know, it's going to be a problem. Like I said before, Alex Lewis, Marshall Yanda, they're coming back. Ravens have to do something. If they don't want the same thing to happen to them again, get somebody in front of Joe Flacco. Re-sign Ryan Jensen, because Ryan Jensen's good. He's very good. He was extremely good this season. He blocked well. He was strong up front. Ravens have been lacking that a couple seasons. You know, Jeremy Zuda got pushed back I can't name how many times. So, I mean, with the Ravens, they have to go receiver, probably tackle, receiver again, outside linebacker in the fourth or fifth. Yeah, outside linebacker probably. I mean, you could get nose tackles and defensive tackles in later rounds, and they'll still produce. You could get undrafted guys. So, I mean, who knows? I just think that they have a lot of building to do. It's only the beginning. So for people to think that the Ravens, I mean, if the Ravens do the same thing that they did last season, John Harbaugh's done. Ozzie Newsome's probably done. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But you know, it's only a matter of time. I mean, I'll definitely be looking at more tape the next couple of weeks, especially with the upcoming draft, and of course I'll have a Senior Bowl show, as well. The Senior Bowl this season it's not that far away. It's in January as well. It's the 27th, so. You know, I'll have a Senior Bowl game. A Senior Bowl show previous to the Senior Bowl. Next week I'm going on vacation, so I'll be away. But I plan on bringing this back every week. Hopefully it'll be a good one. We could get some guests on, a couple draft scouts. And that'll be the end of it. But like I said, hope everyone has a great week. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Baltimore Flockcast with WHAP Fox Sports 1340 AM. This is Kyle Andrews signing off. Thanks, guys.